This is the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Coming up, former Atlanta Fire Chief Kelvin Cochran is taking the city of Atlanta to court after Mayor Kasem Reed fired him. Cochran said, "I have been discriminated against because of my religion." Fox News' Todd Starnes joins me on that story, and also how Al Jazeera English is taking its cues on political correctness from the Obama administration. Also, I'll have a clip from my interview earlier this week with Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal about how political correctness is putting us at risk. And Congressman Mike Pompeo of Kansas joins us with the latest from the Select Committee on Benghazi, which met this week. Now, the question is Congress getting any closer to finding out why and how four Americans lost their lives in Benghazi, Libya? That's the question I'll ask Congressman Pompeo when he joins us a little bit later. Let me encourage you to go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about today's topics. You can also sign up for my daily update right there at the website, TonyPerkins.com. Well, our good friend at Fox News, Todd Starnes, had a very busy week. We've discussed in depth here on Washington Watch the situation of fired Atlanta Fire Chief Kelvin Cochran. Well, recently, the mayor of Atlanta, Kasem Reed, threatened that if Chief Cochran were to file a lawsuit against the city, the mayor said he would ruin his reputation. Well, I have actually spent some time with Chief Cochran, and while I would describe him as a thoughtful and humble man, I don't think he is one to back down when he believes he's right. The chief filed a discrimination lawsuit this week stating, quote, "I believe that I have been discriminated against because of my religion." Well, I think somewhere in Atlanta, I'm sure Mayor Reed is regretting going after Chief Cochran. Joining me now with the latest on this and other stories he covered this week is the author of Godless America, Fox News' Todd Starnes. Todd, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks a lot, Tony. And, you know, it's interesting about Mayor Reed. I suspect he may be thinking that in private, but in public, he is still holding his ground, and he is really trying to go after the fire chief, the former fire chief.
You know, this is a little unusual because normally city officials, spokesmen, so on and so forth, do not comment on legal actions that are taking place. It appears to me that the mayor of Atlanta knows that he has a tiger by the tail here, and he's trying to do what he can to get out in front of what I think is going to be a political or public relations nightmare for them.
Oh, I don't doubt that at all. As a matter of fact, there have been some instances where the mayor has made some public statements, and he's talked about, sort of made light of this fact that the Christian community is coming after him. And you can just tell in the tone and tenor of his voice that this has really gotten under his skin. And I think he was really taken aback by the massive outrage, not just there in the Atlanta area, but nationwide over what he did to the fire chief. But he sat down in an interview, a one-on-one interview with our local Fox TV affiliate there in Atlanta, WAGA. And in that interview, he said that if the fire chief pressed forward with a lawsuit, that his reputation would be destroyed. And he went so far as to call the former fire chief a liar. So the mayor is playing hardball, and I suspect this might come back to bite him in the end.
Well, the case being represented by Alliance Defending Freedom, they appear to have a pretty solid case here, what would appear to be a clear-cut case of discrimination. Do you see this chief in any way backing down? I mean, he doesn't appear to be having second thoughts about this based on the threats of the mayor. It looks like he's determined to move forward in this, not only for his own sake, but for all Christians who would step into the public realm.
Tony, I think the fire chief understands that, and I believe that's why he's going to move forward with the lawsuit. This is an issue that we're seeing pop up all across the country now, where Christians are being punished, they're being silenced because of their religious beliefs. And I think this incident in Atlanta could very well be a key piece of legal work moving forward. So, and I say that because the New York Times decided to weigh in and published an editorial a couple of weeks ago, And they said that even though the city's investigation determined that the fire chief had not discriminated against anyone, that wasn't the point. He needed to be punished for his belief system. And that's outrageous. But there it is in black and white, and I believe at the end of the day that's going to be the ultimate argument. Do Christians have a right to work in the public arena and maintain their religious beliefs?
And I think that is clearly a key question here, and I think that's the message that's being sent by the mayor and others who are going after Christians who are, you know, public about their faith. And, you know, just to refresh the memory of our listeners or those who may not have heard of this case, this deals with a book that the chief wrote in his on his private time for private purposes in his church, a men's Bible study, who told you that you were naked. And it was about morality in many forms and fashions. And of 160 pages, about half of it dealt with homosexuality, which was attacked by an openly gay council member, forcing the mayor then yielding to that pressure and firing the chief. And the message here is very clear that if you, and it goes back to what you also said with the New York Times, because the message there was clear as well. If you're a Christian, you need to leave your Christianity, your religion at home, check it at the door of public service, or you can't serve in public.
And Tony, the mayor's out there saying, well, this had nothing to do with his religion. The mayor is just not being forthcoming, because when you read what he originally wrote when he suspended the fire chief, it had to do with what he wrote about homosexuality. And when you read the city's own investigation, the official investigation, it's very clear they weren't talking about judgment issues. They were talking about whether or not he discriminated against the LGBT community. And one of the individuals that was interviewed in this investigation was a retired lesbian battalion chief. And according to the investigation, she harbored suspicions about the fire chief's Christian faith. And according to the report, she took a voluntary demotion because of those suspicions. Again, suspicions she never reported to anyone. It's just a load of fertilizer.
Yeah.
It's basically a witch hunt, and you've got the mayor leading the way with these LGBT activists and the left-wing firefighters union.
You're listening to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, joined by Todd Starnes with FoxNews.com. We're talking about Chief Kelvin Cochran in Atlanta, Georgia, some other topics we're going to get to in here in just a moment. But I want to juxtapose this to another story that broke, at least some early information about it out of Philadelphia, where there was a sexual scandal involving firemen there, where multiple firemen, women, were involved in sexual escapades. And, you know, I only bring that up from a standpoint of, Todd, if we are excluding any standard of morality from public service, you're looking then at the new norm of what's coming out of Philadelphia.
Look, we're seeing this happen all over the place. There was an openly gay lawmaker in Alabama who's now threatening to out her fellow lawmakers who have had affairs or allegedly had affairs, and that's simply because of this issue of gay marriage is being debated down in Alabama. So it's getting really nasty out there, Tony, and I think people need to understand what's at stake here. And the idea they could go after Kelvin Cochran, who is a good and decent and honorable man, really is telling.
Yeah, it is. And I think we have to stand and push back on this narrative that if you're going to serve in public, you have to check your faith at the door. That is flat out wrong. It runs contrary to the freedoms of religion that our Bill of Rights, our Constitution, recognizes.
Tony, it is a don't ask, don't tell policy for Christians. Plain and simple.
And that's not going to stand, I'll tell you that. All right, Todd, let me transition here. We got a few more minutes. I want to ask you about another story that you were working on this week. Al Jazeera English bans terms like terrorist and Islamist. Are they taking their cues on political correctness from the Obama administration?
Either that or their anchors can't pronounce multisyllable words. Yeah, this is just mind-boggling, but it really does prove, once again, that Al Jazeera English is nothing more than an anti-American propaganda machine. They're dropping all of these descriptors of the terrorist, including the word terrorist, and quite frankly, taking a page from the White House, who earlier this week, a White House spokesman said that they don't consider the Taliban to be a terrorist organization. They consider them to be an armed insurgency.
How they come up with this stuff. I mean, literally. I mean, this stuff, you would think this was Saturday Night Live playing out in the White House press room. But this is real. Where do they come up with this?
It is real, and it's very frightening. Even some Democrats now are like, dude, what? I mean, it's just beyond reasoning, to understand what they're doing. Look, we have a new Fox News poll out, and 60% of Americans say the best way for us to handle the terrorist is to capture, interrogate, or kill. The Obama administration believes we have to drone them. Another 56% say that we are at war with radical Islam. Again, a terminology the administration refuses to use.
Mm-hmm.
And then President Obama in his State of the Union address said the greatest threat to the nation is climate change. Well, according to our poll, only 23% of Americans believe climate change is the greatest threat. 52% say it's global terrorism. So my question today, if I was going to be in the White House press room, this weekend or next week, I would ask this question: what are we supposed to call the people who want to blow us up?
Well, I tell you what, if we wanted to get this administration to go after them, we would link them to climate people. They're all about denying the climate change. And then maybe the administration would go after them.
Well, I wrote about this in a column, and I said, okay, let's talk about climate change. What do you think a couple of nuclear bombs exploding over New York City, what do you think that's going to do to the ozone, Mr. President?
Certainly change the weather patterns, that's for sure. Todd Starnes, thanks so much for being with us. As always, appreciate your coverage of these issues of faith across America. We appreciate your insight.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, that's Todd Starnes. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. And you can follow the links over. I encourage you to be tracking what Todd is writing about. He's one of the few out there that's keeping a watch on faith and how it is under assault at the hands of our own government. Look, speaking about this whole thing of political correctness, earlier this week I had Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal on the Washington Watch, and he stirred things up recently where he was talking about Islam, and he was just calling it as it is. And he said, you cannot, people who kill people who refuse to embrace their religion, that's not a religion, that's a terrorist operation. And of course, the left went crazy. But I had him on the program, and we were talking about how political correctness is blinding us to the threat of radical Islam. And I want you to hear that clip from earlier this week with Governor Bobby Jindal.
Look, I think this is a huge issue, and you hit it exactly on the head. My parents came to America over 40 years ago. Tony, they'd never been on a plane. There was no internet. They came to an idea as much as they were coming to our country, to a piece of land. They were coming to this place where they knew there was freedom and opportunity, the American dream. And my mom and dad, look, they're proud of their heritage. They're proud of their background. They love India, but they were coming to be Americans. And they told us, my brother and me growing up in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, you're Americans. And if we wanted you to be Indian, we would have stayed in India. And I absolutely think we're seeing this problem. And I did say controversially, and I still stand by this, we should get rid of the hyphenated Americans. An African American, an Indian American, an Italian American, an Irish American, an Asian American. We're all Americans. And that's the great thing about the melting pot. I do think in the elites, in the politically correct crowd, the universities, the media, there is this movement away from assimilation. It's called culturally arrogant. I was called a racist. You're called, this is a colonial mindset. You're arrogant. And that's all nonsense. Look, the reality is if people don't want to be Americans, they shouldn't come to America. They should stay wherever they are. I was asked by one reporting, I was fairly criticized by somebody. He said, well, it sounds like you believe in American, you're talking like about American superiority. I said, absolutely. This is the greatest country in the history of the world. And if people don't believe that, if they don't believe America is a special place, if they don't want to be Americans, don't come here.
I mean, that's why people are coming here, because they know America is special. There is something unique about America and the freedoms. That's why people are doing everything they can to try to get here. That's why we need to welcome those who want to be a part of what's great about America. But those who want to tear it down and pull it apart, then we really don't have room for them.
No, and they want to use our freedoms to undermine that freedom in the first place. This is a place where you have freedom of self-determination, freedom of religious liberty, freedom of speech. You know, this is an amazing place, and we're a majority Christian country. We're a Judeo-Christian heritage, but we don't discriminate against those that have no beliefs or have different beliefs. But what is not acceptable, and what you've seen in Europe, and this is a very particular serious threat, you've got those that do want to try to impose a form of Sharia law. You do, and Sharia law is antithetical, mutually exclusive of freedom, and in treating women as first-class citizens, is antithetical to the values we hold dear. And you see third, fourth generation immigrants in the UK and France and other places in Europe that don't consider themselves part of those societies, and that's very dangerous. One of the great things about America is, didn't matter if you were here 5 minutes or 100 years, we have folks that come here, want to be American, they join our military, they start companies, they work to create a better community, and that's wonderful. But what's not acceptable is people that want to come and conquer us. That's not immigration, mm-hmm. by the way. That's you know, colonization. If somebody wants to come here and change our fundamental culture and our values, if they want to come here or if they want to set up their own culture and values, that's not immigration. That's really invasion.
Again, that was Governor Bobby Jindal earlier this week on Washington Watch. We were talking about the political correctness and assimilation, how, you know, people have to assimilate into the American family, the fabric of our country. And if they want to be a part of that, hey, we welcome them. But if they want to come here and tear apart the fabric of our country, hey, we can't allow that. And political correctness is blinding us to these threats. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, still to come, Congressman Mike Pompeo of Kansas joins us to talk about this week's Select Committee on Benghazi in the hearing. Is Congress getting any closer to finding out the truth about what happened to those four Americans and how it happened and why? That's coming up here on the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Also, if you go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, you can find out more. We're having a special event in Atlanta, Georgia. I was talking about the fire chief, Kelvin Cochran. Well, we're going to be down there, and the fire chief is going to be with us as we hold a pastor's conference in the Atlanta area on February the 10th. Pastors, if you're in the, if you're in the Atlanta area, we invite you to come and be a part of the Watchman on the Wall pastor's event there in Atlanta, Georgia, on February the 10th. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. All right, don't go away. We're coming right back with more of this weekend edition of Washington Watch when Congressman Mike Pompeo joins us.
Is the Common Core good for America's students? It's been touted as rigorous, clear, and internationally benchmarked. But while the standards were meant to establish a clear set of guidelines for students, they're proving unclear, frustrating, and problematic to many of America's teachers, parents, and children. The Common Core standards were created without the benefit of transparency and with very little involvement from educators and even less from parents. The standards are already costing billions of dollars to implement, costs that'll eventually fall to local school districts. The standards are imposing a one-size-fits-all set of requirements that don't account for differences in local school districts or individual children. The standards have already resulted in and will likely continue to result in the demoralization of our nation's experienced educators. To find out more, check out our new brochure at frc.org/Common Core Brochure.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us today. Hey, let me encourage you, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about today's topics and our guest. You can also sign up for my daily update right there on the website, TonyPerkins.com. Well, if this administration wants the Benghazi story to go away, the American people have a message for them. Quit stonewalling Congress. Now, the third Benghazi Select Committee hearing was held this week, and unfortunately for the families involved, answers are still hard to come by. Emails are still being withheld. However, there were 15,000 new emails that were released right before the hearing, That's convenient. So Congress was unable to see what was there. If anything, the White House should want to make sure an incident like this doesn't happen again. Four Americans were killed. This is not something that can simply be swept under the rug. And if there were if there was no wrongdoing on behalf of the Obama administration, why don't they just put all the facts on the table and dispose of the matter and let Congress move on? Well, I think you probably know the answer to that. Well, joining me now with the latest on all things Benghazi is a member of the Select Committee, the representative from the 4th Congressional District of Kansas, Congressman Mike Pompeo. Mike, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much, Tony. It's great to be with you.
Well, Congressman, any new information coming forth in this week's committee meeting on Benghazi?
Sadly, not a whole lot of information to report, Tony, in terms of substance. But the entire purpose of this hearing this week was to get the executive branch, the president, to comply with document requests from our committee. And as you hinted in your opening comment, miracle of miracles, 3 or 4 days before the hearing, we had a bunch of documents dumped on us, 15,000 pages that had not been produced to any committee before. And, Tony, you know the story has been, oh, this is a political committee, we're retracing old ground, this is over, done with, been said. And yet here we are now in January of 2015 still being handed documents that nobody in Congress has ever had a chance to see before. And so there remains an awful lot of work there to do. We still don't have all the documents from all of the various agencies and the political operators who were around the activities that night. We need those. We'll then continue to interview witnesses and do the duty that that we've been tasked with, help get the answers for these four families and make sure something like this never happens again.
Congressman, this appears to be a pattern with this administration. I mean, you look at the IRS, where it was like pulling teeth to get information out of them on what they were involved in. You look at the Department of Justice, you have an attorney general still in place who is in contempt of Congress for refusing to provide documentation on Fast and Furious. I mean, are you concerned that this is standard operation for this administration?
The facts certainly bear that out. You know, there's another pattern here too, Tony, and you see in it even today. It is the complete absence of seriousness with respect to tackling the threat to America from radical Islamic terrorism. This incident in Benghazi was one of those, right? This was an incident they, for days and days, and in some cases weeks, mm-hmm. refused to acknowledge that in spite of information that it appears they had in their hand. But we see it, whether it's what's going on today in Yemen or with the president's desire to close Guantanamo Bay, his reference to the shadow of crisis being over and ISIS as a JV terrorist group, we see it again and again. They don't understand that the attack in Benghazi wasn't just a random act of violence, but it was a part of a larger effort from radical Islamists to destroy the West.
The president staying the course in his State of the Union address, where he refused to acknowledge the threat from Islamic terrorists. He talked about extremists, but refused to talk about this threat. And that was in spite of the fact that on that day, Yemen had been under attack. What can Congress do? And what are the plans to hold this administration accountable? First, let's just start with Benghazi. What are the next steps here with Benghazi? Because I do believe you're right. It's important to get these answers so that it's not repeated again.
So the committee still has lots of factual work to do, right? The hard part of investigations is getting the information so that you can begin to tell the story. And that's our duty. So we're going to continue that effort in spite of the administration's incredible reluctance to provide us that information. Anybody who watched part of that hearing, too, this week would have seen the Democrats didn't ask a single question, not one question about why documents haven't been provided or how to advance the investigation. It was literally an attempt to attack the committee and, frankly, Chairman Gowdy first and foremost. But we'll remain constant. We'll remain focused on what we're doing, and then we will begin to have, there'll be more hearings where we will call witnesses that folks will get to hear from publicly come this spring, and we will begin to tell the story. Ultimately, we will prepare what is as thorough a report as we can get our hands on the facts, and try and provide guidance such that we don't put folks like Ambassador Stevens in harm's way unnecessarily when we have information that could have prevented it ever again in America.
You're listening to Washington Watch, the weekend edition. I'm Tony Perkins, your host, joined by Congressman Mike Pompeo of Kansas, talking about the Select Committee on Benghazi that had their third hearing this week. Congressman, we're about out of time, but I do want to ask you to comment on this week. Conflicting reports about Sergeant Bo Bergdahl. Those who say that all evidence would suggest that he deserted. He was traded for five Taliban terrorists out of Gitmo. And rumors this week that he was going to be charged with desertion. Pentagon denied that. But be that as it may, this could be a huge political liability for the Obama administration.
It seems like a long time ago in some sense, Tony, but it's not very long ago when this administration talked about what an honorable man Mr. Bergdahl was. And if the facts bear out, as it appears that they are about to, that will have been yet one more untruth, making the terrible decision to have released these five senior Taliban fighters back to the Middle East. It's tragic. It's tragic for the men who fought alongside Sergeant Bergdahl and those who went out to try and find him and bring him back. It's tragic for all of the families of those service members, and it's tragic because we now have handed over five very dangerous men who I am convinced will return to try and haunt America again.
I think you're absolutely right. Congressman Mike Pompeo, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Tony. Have a great day.
You too. Congressman Mike Pompeo of Kansas, to find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. All right, folks, we're out of time for this weekend. Thanks so much for being with us. And let me leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul. When you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, you've prepared, and you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.